The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Well, over the last few weeks, we've been on this journey called Next Generations, passing on the baton. And today we are finishing the race together, not literally, but we're going to be talking about what that looks like and how that looks as we get to the end of our race. Let me ask you a question. How did we get started in the race?
Through baptism.
All right, fantastic. Let me ask you, we'll get to that in a moment. That's exactly the right answer. Was the race happening before we got into it?
Yes.
All right, so the race was already established because of Jesus, yes? In Jesus, God opens up his heart to us. He shows his hopes and dreams for us and beckons us to come into his arms and into his heaven. The hinging point for all that, of course, are the events of Easter. At the cross, Jesus takes the blame for all our mistakes and dies in our place. Yes? But then he rises again to give us life and a hope and a future. Baptism hooks us into all that. In baptism, we have been buried together with Christ. And in baptism, we have been united with Jesus in his resurrection. We are people with a hope and a future, yes? Right. So no matter how many times we mess up, we know that God loves us, yes? No matter how many times we mess up, we know that God wants to forgive us, yes? And no matter how many times we mess it up, we know that God always wants the best for us, yes? So in this race, God calls us to trust in him, in his unfailing love, and to follow Jesus all the way home. In essence, that is the race, yes? Last week, Pastor Reed talked about the race not so much as a marathon, but as a relay race, where we are passing on the baton to the next generations to declare to them the wonders of God in history, the wonders of God in Jesus, the wonders of God in our own lives. Why do we do that? Nobody knows. Absolutely. We want them to have the benefits that we have, that God wants them to have. Isn't it because we share God's heart for his world? That none should perish, but that all people might inherit eternal life. So, we fix our eyes on Jesus. And it's not just about running solo to the finish line. We grab as many hands as we can and we help and encourage them. We pass the baton on to them. We nurture them. We encourage them so they can finish their journey too. So they can stay in the race, cross the finishing line and win the prize. So what is the prize? Eternal life. All right, you good Lutherans, you've got excellent answers. Yes, the prize is eternal life with Christ. Jesus talks about it often, but one of the ways he talks about it with much clarity is in John 14. Let's read this together. This is Jesus' promise to every single one of us. Let's read. My Father's house has many rooms. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus says, my Father's house, it's a place that we can go to. Jesus will bring us there. Jesus wants you and me, every person you know and love and care about, and every person on this planet to one day, be in his Father's house, yes? There's a few other images of the Bible that talk about that reality, some images or metaphors of heaven. Jesus often, and the Jews of Jesus' time, often talked about a wedding feast. Now, a wedding feast in those days wasn't just like a 2 or 3 hour affair. It would go 4 or 5 days, perhaps even a week, and it finished when all the guests left. And the guests all go, then it's over. They would just keep partying. You know, they didn't have many parties, so they made it worthwhile once they got there. I like that image. Another picture is the ingathering of all God's people. God gathering all his kids together around him. And they are worshipping and praising the Lord and the Lamb who sits on the throne together with all God's holy angels. Ooh, awesome. That's what you call awesome. Another picture is God the Good Shepherd nurturing and protecting his flock. Paul tells us a few times about these resurrection bodies that we're going to have. They're going to be just like Jesus' glorified body. Think about this. No more getting old. No getting sick. I might even get a full head of hair again. Your bodies won't start wrinkling or sagging with age. They'll be perfect bodies fit for eternity. Woohoo! As I get older, I'm looking forward to it more and more. The writer of Hebrews talks about entering into God's rest, that God's got a place where everything's going to be restful, no anxiety, no stress. One of the most vivid descriptions of heaven is found in Revelation 21. Listen to these words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. Friends, that's where God always is. But here it will be manifest to everybody. He will live with them and they will be his people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. I think the Hebrew word for that is shalom. Everything right and new again. Sounds great, doesn't it? Jesus has a perfect place ready for all God's people. Great news. Question: how can we be sure of receiving the prize at the end? Well, here on earth, what do we get prizes for? Don't we get prizes for our performances? Okay, to get an academic prize, you have to top the class or top the year level, yes? To win a sporting prize or award, you've got to beat everybody else. You've got to overcome all the competition, yes? A grand final championship team will sometimes receive a championship ring or medallion or medal or trophy. But the kingdom of God is a lot different. It tips all that on its head. It's not about our personal performance. In Romans 8, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors? Winners, losers, how can you be more than a conqueror? I think to be more than a conqueror means to receive the victory and the win and the prize without having to do the work. Let me explain to you. In a former life, I played a fair bit of squash. Former life. I was okay at it. I improved over time, but I wasn't a champion. But just indulge my fantasy. Let's say that I wanted to become world champion squash player. Okay, so I trained really, really hard. I went through a series of different tournaments and won all them. And eventually I had the opportunity to play the current ruling world champion, and I won. I beat him or her. And as a result, the prize awarded to me is 2 round the world tickets for a holiday. Okay, I go home with my 2 tickets and my win. And I take those tickets and I give that to a couple who've always wanted to travel but could never afford to. At that moment, they are more than conquerors because they have received my victory, the fruit of my victory, without the sacrifice and effort. Friends, that's how it is with Jesus and us. We share in his victory over death and the prize of eternal life, and he shares it with all who will receive the benefits of his sacrifice and effort. And we get into heaven on Jesus' ticket. not on our own. Is that clear? Good. Their confidence to inherit eternal life, it is not smug arrogance. It's not smug arrogance to say, hey, I know that one day I'm going to be with God and his people in heaven. It's not thinking I'm getting there because I'm better than anybody else. Remember, it's not because of your personal performance. It's all about God's goodness and grace. His ticket, not ours. Our confidence is based on Jesus and his promises. Paul expresses this confidence throughout his writings. You go looking through it. Paul had encountered the risen Jesus, remember? And he never lost sight of the fact that that was his destiny. And so he writes this to his friends in Philippi, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you watch runners on a track or in any race, are they constantly staring behind them? No. What are they doing? They're focusing on the finishing line. I think here Paul is saying, hey, I'm not thinking and dwelling on my past, whether it's good or bad or ugly. In fact, even my present situations, when I'm in prison, this is about AD 60, I'm in prison, I'm not letting that undermine me and take me out of the race. Instead, I stay on track. I stay on track because God's got something amazing for me. Paul went through many trials and tribulations. In one season, he says this, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Do you know that? Do you focus on it? It's really important that we never lose sight of it. Paul learned to see his problems in the light of eternity. And he urges us to do the same. To not get defeated or distracted by all the stuff we face day by day by day. The stuff that threatens to derail us. The things that diminishes our kingdom influence. He says, nah, stay in the race. I'm staying in the race. Because what's there is going to be permanent. What we have now is only temporary. It's passing. Better stuff is going to happen. Years later, Paul is about to finish his race and he's still passing on the baton to his protege or apprentice, Timothy, whom he affectionately calls my son in the faith. And Paul is still urging him and cheering Timothy on, even though he's about to lose his life. Listen to what Paul says. The time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Hey, Tim, I've been running and I'm finishing right now. Tim, stay the course, Tim. Let me encourage you to finish, get to the finishing line of your race as I have. Tim, follow me as I follow Christ. Keep your perspective. Don't let anything derail you from your destiny. Let me ask, how is it with you? Do you have that confidence? Are you sharing the source of your confidence with the next generations? Are you telling them about the hope and the future you are looking forward to? Or are you always wussing out about it? Friends, I think our culture of hopelessness and despair is slowly squeezing us into its mould, where we no longer talk about resurrection. We no longer talk about death and dying and what's coming afterwards. We remain silent and we rob the next generations of the confidence of that future. We don't make funeral plans. Duh! Why not? Why not? Find those Bible passages you want read at your funeral. Talk about them with your family, why you've chosen those passages and what those things mean to you, because at that time it might mean the world and eternity to them. Why not have those discussions about what songs or hymns you want at your funeral? Have a discussion about it. Write them down. Make sure your kids and your grandkids know where that is kept so they can get their hands on it at the time. Who knows? That influence might just help them finish their race and inherit what Jesus has for them. AD 67, according to tradition, Paul was beheaded somewhere outside of Rome. Do you think a few seconds after that he looked back with regrets about his hardships and trials?
I don't think so.
1 second into eternity, you will have no regrets. 1 step into heaven. 1 glance into the eyes of Jesus. 1 bar into the first praise song. 1 mouthful of the heavenly banquet. 1 glance at the multitude in rapturous worship. And we'll soon overlook all the hardships that we've endured in this life. And think about how amazing it will be to catch up with all those who have gone before us and across the finishing line into glory. And think how absolutely amazing it will be when the ones we've passed the baton will come over the line and join us too. Think about that. The next generations need us to live out what it means to hope and live in Jesus. They need to see it in us, not just in our lives, but in how we treat them. And they especially need to see it as we get near to the end of our race. Don't chicken out. Be bold. Be courageous. Share the source of your hope. Friends, the next generations need to see us finish our race with faith and hope in Jesus. They're crossing the finishing line of this life. To be with Christ is better by far. So let's do the race together. Let's run hard with Christ so we, along with the next generations, can finish the race and win the prize that God has in store for all his precious children in Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. I'm about to pray, but I'd like us to have a sense of solidarity as God's people as we pray. So what I'd really invite you to do is to link arms or touch a shoulder or hold hands with someone next to you so we can do this corporately as God's family called Good Shepherd. Can we do that? I'm not going to make you do it, but I'd love us to, because it expresses the fact that we're doing this together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you of your incredible love for each of us, for dying for us and rising to give us a hope and a future. Lord, we confess that we often get distracted by stuff that's happening immediately around us. We get a bit selfish. We get short-sighted when we become indifferent and fearful when we let culture squeeze us into its mold of despair. Lord, have mercy on us and forgive us. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh, that we would be more concerned for the kingdom of God than our own creature comforts. Lord, help us, your good shepherd family, to keep our hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things. To recognize that all the stuff in this life is merely transitory. What's going to last forever is what you have for us. Holy Spirit, give us boldness to share the reason of the hope that we have and to always do it with gentleness and respect, knowing that you're a God who woos people to your heart. mold us as a community, as a family, to be rich in faith and hope and love. In the name and to the glory of Jesus, our King. And the people of God said, Amen.